Okay, we're going to look at the matter of choosing life. What life will we choose? This breaks down why we're here. Do you know why we're here? That makes a big difference sometimes when you go somewhere to know why you're there. You know, why am I here? Well, the fact of the matter is, I can help you. I can help you in life. Not because of any wisdom or anything that I have, but I can direct you to one that has wisdom, and that's our Creator. And that's what we'll do. And if you look at what we read and what we deal with, you will see the reality of that. If we want a difficult life, you've seen people, they've just had a hard life. In many cases, it's self-inflicted because of bad choices. And as long as you make a bad choice and you keep making that bad choice, then you're going to have
a bad life,
bad results. Insanity. How do you define insanity?
Repeating the same act multiple times, expecting a different result.
There you go.
Also known as anger birds.
Yeah. We have a matter of life. We make a bad choice. We make that decision. And then we decide to do it again. Well, maybe it won't happen that way. And we do it again. All right? So all I want to do is present, it's not my word, it's not my wisdom, but it is God's wisdom. And we will see within His wisdom why these particular matters that we're looking at are dangerous to our life. And we'll either accept it or reject it, because God has given us the ability to do that very thing. All right? So when we look at Deuteronomy 30:19, what does it say? Did you look it up?
No.
Huh?
No.
Oh, what does it say?
I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse, so choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants.
Okay, choose life. That's what the Lord says, choose life. And that's not just living. Yeah. You have a good life or a bad life. Both of them, you're just living. But one of them is going to bring bad results. The other will bring good results. You are in the process of training your mind and your body to do what will give you good results. Right, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, Jeremiah said, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's just the facts of the matter. And when we, and that's the problem that we often have, that problem being that I know what's best. I know what's best for me. I know what's best for everybody else. And that's going to result in ruin. You know what ruin is?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you leave your tomatoes out too long. And they're ruined. Okay? They're good for nothing.
Isn't there another term for that?
Do what?
Isn't there another term for ruin?
Destroy. I don't know. What's another one?
Rotted.
Rotted.
Or destroyed.
You know? That's what you have a choice. You have a choice. And you'll make that choice, and you'll get to where you start connecting dots, for lack of a better term. And sometimes it takes a long time before you get, before the light comes on. Oh, yeah, now I understand. So hopefully within the preparation, we can get the information, and we can see what's happening around us, and we can see the result of it. And then we have a choice as to whether or not we want to participate or not. There was a lady that she had her T-shirt. She was probably in her 80s. Right? And she comes in and it says, that's a bad idea. And in parentheses, it says, what time? Okay? That's a bad idea. But what time are we going to do it? You say, okay, that's kind of the way that goes. And sometimes we do. They say, I know this is a bad idea, but it won't affect us. But it always affects us. Everything we do always has an effect to it. All right. Such being the case, we're going to look in reference to this matter of seeking life. We're looking in the Ephesian letter and Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. Now, what we want to do is we want to look at these terms, and from them, I believe that you will be able to see the danger, or how they will not be productive in giving us a good life. Right? We're going to make bad choices. That's it. Sometimes they say, we're going to make mistakes. No, we're going to make bad choices. We either plan to do good or we don't plan, which is planning to do evil if we don't plan. So we want to plan, make sure that we get it all squared away. Do we have rules in life? Are they important? How are they important? You don't know how they're important? Who knows how to read? You know how to read. What's important about spelling? You've seen some of my questions, and what do you see in some cases that you most eloquently point out to me?
Misspelling.
Misspelling. Does it make a difference?
Sometimes it changes the word.
Sometimes it changes the word, and you change the word, and you've changed the whole meaning of it. Or you add a word, whatever the case is. Adam and Eve, God said, don't eat of it. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Satan said,
you will not.
One little three-letter word changed the whole arrangement of what God said. So we need to be careful with that, because you deal with that with your parents when they tell you what to do. And sometimes you'll say, well, you didn't tell me not to. The point is, they didn't tell you to. You do what they tell you to do.
Don't do what they didn't tell you.
Okay. Did that make sense?
Don't do what they didn't tell you.
Don't do what they didn't tell you. All right.
Is that like can't?
Can't.
Can't.
Okay, so here we go. So here's what we have. So here's just words. These are just terms. And when we understand those terms, we want to know why these words are used. What's the danger? First of all, we're going to see what danger there is, and then we'll see what blessings there is of not doing what we weren't told. I'm not sure that came out. Okay. Now,
kind of, maybe.
Okay, so here's what we have. We have that which brings death. Now, death is a separation. So it is. Physical is the death of the body and the spirit. Spiritual is separation with a fellowship with God. You could, you've heard individuals, maybe, you've heard individuals that say, you're dead to me. Right? They've separated a relationship, is what they've done. Right? And so death can come about. So we're going to look at what, one, that which brings death. Ephesians 4:25. Now Paul, an apostle, he said, and I want you to consider this, even if this was just in a secular set, a secular writing. Right? When you read a book, somebody wrote fiction or otherwise, even a fictional book has some truths in it. Right? And so we find that in reference to it, we're going to look at these particular terms. So in Ephesians 4:25, what are you sitting on? Your Bible? Oh, a toy.
Put it in your pocket.
Bitterness. Bitterness. We're going to look, well, in verse 25, wherefore putting away falsehood, we'll look at these this first. What's falsehood?
Lies.
What's wrong with lies?
They tell which is not true.
Tell them what's not true. Put away falsehood, but speak ye truth, each one to his neighbor. When you talk with somebody and they tell you something, do you expect them to tell you the truth? That's what they're doing. Do you want them to tell you the truth? Right? That's like with Eve. Did Satan tell her the truth? What was the result? We're living it. We are living that result that took place 6,000 years ago. Right? When all that took place, or better, whatever the time period was. And so we find that when somebody tells a lie, there is a reason why they're telling a lie. There's either something they want, or there's something that they don't want to get caught that they did. You never been there, have you? No?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay. We all have been sometimes. Okay? That's the point. We're learning not to lie. Because lying will do what? Get you. It'll get you in trouble. All right. Now, so speak truth one to his neighbor. Be ye angry and sin not. You ever been angry? What is it? Anger is an innate response to injustice. That when you see injustice happen, that it angers you. Right? Well, he also said that you don't give place to the devil. The devil would like to take that innate anger and use it against you. That you lash out against other people or whatever the case is. A lot of these riots that we have, people are angry. They're angry, but what do? They destroy things. They destroy them. They destroy things. They destroy people. They destroy themselves. Because of their attitude. They've allowed it to boil up to the point that they're doing things that are illegal. Some of them immoral. In what they do. He said, so you're going to be angry. Alright. But you control that. You have the ability to control your anger in reference to life. Let him that stole steal no more. What's wrong with stealing? That's what it is, but what's wrong with it? What's wrong with stealing? I know, God, this is, well, why is it bad? Here's a, and this is a true example. I was talking with a fella, and he was talking about going to Walmart. Right? And he's at Walmart, that's one strike against him. No, not really. He's going to Walmart, and he had on the bottom of the cart a case of water. Right? Well, he gets out to his vehicle and he said, oh, they didn't charge me for the water. So I said, so you went back in and paid for the water? He says, well, no. I said, so you stole it. He said, what? I said, you stole it. You took something that was not yours. You had the chance to rectify it, and you chose not to. You stole from them. And when you steal from them, who do you steal from?
The manager?
You steal from everybody else that shops at Walmart. Because I can guarantee you that what's built in to the prices at Walmart is built in to help recover what people steal. It's built in. The prices would be lower if people were not stealing. So when you go in to buy something, and the price that you pay would be less If they didn't have to make up for what's being stole, then you'd have to pay less. Is that right? So who do they steal from?
Themselves, technically.
And you. All right, so he said, you tell those who stole to steal no more, but work with their hands, doing that which is good. It's interesting what he says, that you may give to those that have need. Didn't say you can give it for your pleasure to do what you want to. I got more money that I can do that. There are other people that have need, and that we need to be involved in helping people that have need, whether it be financially, whether it be physically. There are individuals that have needs physically, and sometimes they need help. Okay? They need assistance. And that's what you are able, you have the ability to help them without an attitude of, they owe me. Okay? You ought to be able to do that. Used to be a time in society they had what they called a barn raiser. You know what that is? A farmer's going to build a barn. And they had a barn raising. And the whole community would bring wood, their time, and everything it took to build this barn for the farmer at no charge.
And the ladies brought food
to feed them. Well, we live in a society that if we don't get something back, if we don't get paid, well, we're not going to do it. And so here's a matter of where the Lord said, those that steal, you teach them. Don't steal anymore. Here's, if when stealing, you cannot steal without taking, as you mentioned, something that belongs to somebody else. And it belongs to somebody else. Do you have anything that's yours? Is it yours? Is it okay if I come over and take it? No? Why not? I want it.
It's mine.
Oh, it's yours. Okay? It's yours. It's not mine. And so for me to take it is stealing. And so I recognize the fact that people have a right to property. God gave them a right to property. When it is justly obtained, God said, that's your reward. That's what he's done. That's what he's placed in service. All right, let no, verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt speech? What do you think corrupt speech is? Here's the other. But, all right, this will help us define what corrupt speech is. But such as is good for edifying. You know what edifying is?
Lifting up.
As the need may be. So you don't, any corrupt speech is speech that does not lift up. Now how could you say something to somebody that wouldn't lift them up?
Say something to bring them down.
All right. Like what?
Brilliant. You stink.
There you go. Okay. Now, does that offend you? Huh? So that doesn't lift you up. You know? So if you tell them you're a dirty scumbag, you know, and you mean it, okay? That doesn't lift them up. Okay? And so rather than say things that will bring people down, why do people say things that bring other people down?
Because they like it.
Okay, they like it. Why do they like it?
Because it makes other people feel hurt.
Makes them feel hurt. What about a bully? Why are they bullies? Any idea why they're bullies?
People put other people down and are mean to other people because it makes them feel exalted themselves.
Yeah,
they're power and control.
Yeah. I feel better if I can make you feel worse. Right? And that's why they bully. They are insecure in themselves. But the only way that they can have any satisfaction in life is to make other people feel bad. So when we don't let them do that, we take that away from them, they'll go bully somebody else. Now, we're not just trying to get rid of them, but to understand that we have control over this. I used to say 2x2 spot, but I had to increase it to 3x3. Okay. So anyway, so you know, we have to. That's what I like to term. I've heard it since, but there was one fellow, I can't remember what his name was, that he said, I'm feeling uncomfortable in my skin. Do you remember that guy? Anyway,
I have no idea
what the
original was.
He was from England, and his wife was over here and something was going. Anyway, the point is, when you don't feel comfortable in your own skin, then you're subject to the attacks of a bully. All right? So, one, we don't want to be a bully. All right? And so what do? When we're talking with other people?
Try and be nice.
Okay, and do what? What should they go away with? Feeling better or worse about themselves?
Better.
So you speak what will edify, what will build them up. Right? Now, not all edification, not all edifying is necessarily fun. I want to build you up. Okay? I want to build you up. You need to stop whatever it is that you're doing. Right? And I want to build you up. But it deals with, it's kind of like one fellow said, he talked to two guys and both of them told him he was going to hell. One of them was concerned. The other one was glad of it. See? So it deals with your attitude of how you do that. Right?
What does the Bible tell us in how to deal with other people, William? How to treat other people?
The way you want to be treated.
The way you want to be treated. And that's what Paul dealt with this edifying and building them up. And he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. This, how would you grieve the Holy Spirit? You have any idea? You know what grief is?
Sadness?
Pretty good. It's kind of like, again? You're doing this again? Could you grieve your parents by continually doing what you know is not the right thing to do, and they've tried to help you and instruct you and tell you why this is the case, and you do it again, and all that they're left with is a sigh. What now? You can only help people as far as they will let you help them. And sometimes you're just left with grief. Grief. Not for yourself, but for them. There's a difference in, difference in being disappointed in somebody and being disappointed for somebody. Don't get disappointed in them. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm disappointed for you, because what you're doing will just lead you to heartache, lead you to destruction, ruin. What else do you call it? You already have dementia. Okay, he forgot. All right, so so we do that. All right. So what do we have? Here's what we have. Bitterness. Bitterness. What do you think about bitterness? You're just bitter.
Sour.
Sour. Okay. You're just bitter. You're bitter about everything. Right? You're bitter with other people, and that's what this deals with. These deal with relationships of how people deal with each other. And he tells him that you don't this bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, controversy, always end for a fight. Always want to be controversial in whatever you do. He said, railing. Yeah, you know what railing is? Evil speaking. They did that with the Lord. They railed on him. Yeah. You think you're the Son of God? You know?
These.
Do what?
These. Racial demonstrations, big part of it, and the homosexual demonstrations that were so prevalent just a couple of years ago, where they march and they just badger the opposition. They just constant hammer with insults and degrading, and that's railing.
That's that clamor. These build on each other. Okay. Sometimes they carry pretty close to the same definition. They build on each other. Here's people that they can't wait for the next controversy. Right? There was a statement that was made one time about a political party of where there was a disaster and one of the Congress individuals made a statement that you can't let a good disaster go unexploited. Basically, here's a disaster that happens. Well, this is a good time for us to get finances. This is a good time for us to get our point across. This is a good time. When we deal within our society of gun control, when is a good time to bring up gun control?
For them, any time they can.
But when's a good time? Is it a good time
that somebody's been shot?
Is it a good time when somebody had defended their household?
No.
Is it a good time when some nut goes into a school and shoots everybody up? Is that a good time to deal with gun control? Now you watch, every time that there is a shooting, every time there's a shooting like that, a mass shooting, the first thing that's going to come out is, we need gun control in order to stop that. We already have laws to do that. And if they would prosecute and fulfill those laws, then you wouldn't have that problem. Or at least it would be highly reduced. So what I want to do to get you on my side is that when you are angry about something, that I'm going to give you my proposition of how we can fix this. And when that happens, I've got you. That's what you want. All right. And so we do that. All right. Malice. You know what malice is?
Ill will.
Malice is general ill will toward other people.
Wishing bad things would happen to them.
Yep. You ever wish something bad to happen to somebody? Never have? Good. Don't ever let that happen. They had this deal, whatever your situation is, Florida, here, I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe it was. They had that big fire at that gay bar, whatever it was. And the day after that happened, there were two responses that I heard men make. One of them was, good on them, they got what they had coming because of their evil activity, right? And there was three or four of them that were going, yeah, they got what they have coming. One man said, they'll never have the opportunity to obey the gospel. You think about it. You take away their very opportunity to do what the Lord wants them to do. That's malice. That's what that is. That's just ill will toward people that are different than you are. Whatever. There's all sorts of sin in the world. There's no doubt about that. And LGBTQ is just one of them. Right? Just one of them. It's just that some sins are more acceptable to society. You know why? Because they're doing it. That's what they're doing. And therefore, because they're doing it, they will not condemn others that are doing it, whether you know they're doing it or not. Okay, that's the point. Malice. All right, in Ephesians chapter 5, 3 through 4, here's what we're going to look at real quick. Fornication. You know what fornication is? That is the activity that a husband and wife would have if they weren't husband and wife. That don't make sense, does it? It will in time. It's illicit sexual activity between two parties that are not married. Paul said, because of fornication, let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. That's the way to settle that. Right. We have drives. No doubt about it. Hormone, whatever you want to call them. We have drives in life when we start to mature. When you go into adulthood or you start in there, that those, they'll be there. Those drives are there. And when they're allowed to run amok, we have within our society, we do because we all deal with it, a high rate of STD. You know what STDs are? Robert? Yeah. All right. There's a high rate. And the thing about it is, that it's not just among the young people. Because you get with older people, they lose a spouse, and they find another one, and away they go. And so there is a high rate of STDs within the society that we live in.
Among seniors.
How do you avoid the spread of STD? That's what that is. Right. And you take a man and a woman that have only known each other in the biblical sense, they will not have STDs. Okay? All right. Uncleanness. Uncleanness deals with the factor of morally unclean. Usually falls into the category of sexual contact. And so it deals with just they're morally unclean. You'll see folks that are like that, whether within their thoughts or within their actions, impurity. And that uncleanness comes from a opposite of that of doing what's right. Your body is the only one you're going to get. You're not going to get another one. Okay. Sometimes we don't like the way we look. Too bad, you're not getting another one. All right? And so what we need to do is make sure that we keep the one we've got pure. All right? Does that make any sense? You got your clothes. If you want to look nice, what do you put on? Do you put on the clothes you've been wrestling with the hog in? Is that what you put on? No. You don't do that. What do?
Put on clean ones.
Put on clean ones.
You wash yourself.
You wash yourself. You dress this up best you can. Some of us are on a losing battle on there. But you do the best you can with what you got. That's kind of life. You know, when the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, you know what the Lord told them? Go clean yourself up. Take a bath, wash your clothes, and in 3 days you come back. But you go clean yourself up. I guarantee you that if you clean yourself up, you will feel better about yourself, and others will feel better about you as well. You just clean yourself up. I guarantee you, you'll find if you hadn't seen it, you will see it. You'll see individuals that hadn't cleaned themselves up. That's your choice. Some of them by choice, some of them due to the mental difficulties that they have, whatever the case is. But individuals will cross the road to keep from walking by them. They just do it. Clean yourself up. There's a fellow walks up and down this road down here wanting a ride. And a guy told him one time, picked him up, said, "You go home and take a bath. Clean yourself up. I'll not pick you up again. Clean yourself up." Yeah. And so that's a matter of uncleanness, where moral uncleanness, which deals with moral conduct, and we're looking at some of what that conduct is, but keep your life clean. And if you stay clean, you'll feel better about yourself. Yeah. And on a side note, when you go to do, you know, when you get up of a morning, dress like you have a purpose. Dress like you're going to do something. Right? And you will approach your life a whole lot different than you will if you throw on your dirty clothes. Maybe that's what you're going to do for the day. I'll tell you what. This happened. There was a debate. And these two guys that were debating, one of them, I don't recall what his last name was. We'll just go with Hopkins. I don't know. The other one, his last name was Hogg. Right?
H-O-G-G.
Yeah, H-O-G-G. And so they come to this debate, and this one guy, he's just sitting there. Sitting in the audience, and Mr. Hogg gets up and he says, "Well, Tant, I think it was, Yater Tant." He says, "I guess Mr. Tant decided not to show up for the debate." And Mr. Tant stands up. He's in his overalls. And he said, "Sir, I am here and ready." And he said, "Well, you're not dressed for the debate." And he said, "My daddy always told me to dress for the occasion, and I'm here to slaughter a hog." Okay, with what he did. All right. So that's what you have. You have these matters of what it is. All right. So we have uncleanness, covetousness. I used to put in a couple extra syllables in there, but I was instructed otherwise. Somebody said something about language, that it's important. Other than William. Hey, well, that's true. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Actually, covetousness is, I want what you got, and I don't want you to have it. I covet your Legos. I want your Legos, and I don't want you to have them. That's what it is to covet. You ever been there? You see what somebody has and you are envious, because we'll deal with envy as well. They don't have a right to have that. You know, covetousness. The Apostle Paul said, "I didn't know coveting until I read the law that said thou shalt not covet." And then he said, "Then I found out I'm coveting all the time. Because I see what somebody else has and I want it. They don't deserve it. I do. And therefore you covet it." And so under the law, it said thou shalt not covet anything your neighbor has. Not his manservant, his maidservant. You can't covet that. Maybe you can't afford a manservant or a maidservant. But you see somebody else that does, and you covet it. You say, "I want it, and I don't want them to have it. I'm just full of malice. I'm just full of bitterness." See, all these build upon each other. That's what, you know, the case is. Time and circumstance, or sometimes time and chance, affects us all. The race doesn't go to the swift. Just because somebody's faster doesn't mean they're going to win the race. And that's what Solomon said. Sometimes things just happen the way they happen. You see, folks, and that's what Asaph did. Asaph was a priest. And Asaph says, I know that God is good to Israel, but I'm about ready to fall here. Man, I'm slipping because I see the wealth of the ungodly. They're fat, their eyes bulge out, they've got everything they could possibly want, but they're evil. And then here's the righteous that are begging bread. Not begging bread, but they're having a hard time with what they have. Right? And so when that happens, you deal with this matter sometime of covetous. Filthiness that could be in mind, body, thoughts, actions.
Speech.
It's just filthy.
You heard somebody having a filthy mouth?
Oh, you heard of that before? You hadn't heard somebody... You hadn't heard the phrase filthy mouth?
That's somebody who uses a lot of dirty words, bad words, cuss words, swear words, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. That's what that is, filthiness. Filthy. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. You know, deals with the matter of filthiness. Don't... If you talk with filthiness, that's the way people's going to respond to you. That's what you are. Because what comes forth out of the mouth is what's in the heart. So be careful what you say and how you say it. And the thing is, we have knee-jerk reactions. You know what a knee-jerk reaction is? A knee-jerk reaction is something like somebody comes in and they bump into you and you say, well, you moron. Okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay? Or you could, something that you do just as a result. Here, this is not a knee-jerk reaction, but even Solomon dealt with this, and you'll appreciate this, I think. When you fall, what is your first inclination? When you start to fall, you reach out with your hands. And Solomon dealt with that. The man that falls will reach out to brace himself. What's going to happen?
If you don't do it right, you're going to break your arm.
If you don't do what right? Reach out right or fall right?
Fall right.
If you reach out independent and the more weight you have, the more difficulty it may be, that it'll ratchet it right up the arm because all of your weight's going against it. But that is a natural reaction to falling. That's why in the other areas of life, you've had a time when you learned to fall. Which one protects you? Which one protects you? Knowing how to fall or sticking your arm out?
Knowing how to fall.
Alright, so we want to make sure that we're speaking right. We don't have a filthy mouth. Because there's people that have a filthy mouth. And you hear that a lot of times on TV. They're coming out with commercials now. Of where people are, they have a filthy mouth for no good reason, if there ever was a good reason, that they put something within their ad that's just filthy. That's nasty, okay, with what they do. And this is the attitude of a worldly mind. One that says, I'll rule my life. I know what's good for me. And I don't need God to tell me what's good and what's bad. Guarantee you, every one of these affects your relationship with other people. Every one of them. Because that's what sin does. It affects other people. If you were all alone, you'd really not have any occasion to sin. Nobody else is there. Because everything you do is against somebody else. Now you can do it one against yourself, but even that requires somebody else being there. All right. So, filthiness. Foolish talking. You know what foolish talking is? Vain, has no good purpose. Has no good purpose. It's foolish. That's just foolish. You know. Makes no sense. Or totally contrary to the cleanliness or whatever is the case. It's just foolish. God says, this do. I say, you don't know what you're talking about. That's just foolish. Right. You have with your parents. Your parents that they've lived, they've gone, they've experienced some things, and they've learned the hard way on some things. And they tell you whatever it is that, you know, don't do that. This has no good end to it. And you say, what do you know? That's just foolish. You best listen and start evaluating what's going on. Jesting. You know the court jester? You know, they're the clown, right? That's not what this is. Jesting is sexual innuendos, if you will.
Dirty jokes.
Jesting. That's what that is. And it's usually between... If I understand this process right, it's usually between two people that are not married. Okay.
Sexual talk
among other people, whether it's a man with somebody else's wife or somebody, whatever the case may be, things that ought not to be said jokingly. But with the sexual overtone, that's what jesting is. That's what will bring death to your life. Every one of them has a negative response in life. All right? Next week, not next week, we'll be gone next week. Week after, we're going to look at what brings life. All right? I can help you by identifying, showing you, well, here's what the Lord said, put it in a context that's understandable, and that'll help you. But it will only help you as much as you want to be helped. Any questions? Did you learn anything? Yes. What did you learn?
What not to do.
What not to do. Had a professor one time, and at the end of his class, he would ask that very question. Did you learn anything? Everybody would say, yes. He said, what did you learn? Or, show me what you learned. So, and that's a knee-jerk reaction. Did you learn anything? Oh, yeah. What'd you learn? I don't know. Okay. So,
I've done that.
See, we've all done that. All right, it's good to see you here. Glad you're here. Hopefully that we all learned something.